Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. I'm Mathilde and I'm your host. I'm an inner transformation mentor supporting women in healing mother wounds through the one-on-one 10 weeks program and through Reclaim Your Fullness online community. To know more about these offerings, sign up to the newsletter or visit the website womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. All the links are in the description of this episode. So for the topic of today, I want to talk about what can happen when you're having a baby and your mother has narcissistic and toxic behaviors. So how will a narcissistic mother that is becoming a grandmother behave? And I'm going to share about 8 main ways that a narcissistic grandmother can actually behave when there is a newborn baby arriving in the family. And today we're going to talk about what happens when we have the baby. So the baby is here. And I'm also going to speak to about 6 keys that are really important, 6 key points for you to keep in mind that will help you navigating and dealing with this. This is a very important topic and one that's close to my heart. Clients come to me at times during their pregnancy, and the biggest fear that they have is to repeat the cycle, to end up mothering the same toxic way they were mothered. And I so get that, as I've definitely had those fears when expecting my children, and still I bring a lot of awareness to it. So I have an episode on this, on how to break the cycle when you become a mother. I have it on the podcast, and I'm going to share the link in the description below. So if you are at this stage, if you're pregnant, or if you're thinking about having a baby, and these are fears that you have, you can go listen to that episode. But another thing that can cause us anxiety is not knowing how our mother will behave with our baby. So when I was expecting my first child, I had no idea what to expect from my mother's behavior once my child was born. I had no idea yet about maternal narcissism. I had no knowledge of it. And at the time, we were living in different countries, actually. There was some intuitive part of me, though, that made sure she was not there for the birth and that she only came to visit about a week after and for a very short time. So there was some intuition in my system that was like, somehow this person has been toxic to me, has had really unhealthy behaviors towards me, didn't exactly show a lot of maternal instinct and love for me when I was a baby. I don't want this person near my child, and especially not at the very beginning. That is such a delicate and precious time. So let me ask you, are you expecting a child and not knowing what to expect from your mother once the baby is born? Are you thinking about having a baby, but the idea to expose a child to your narcissistic mother's influence terrifies you? Or maybe you had your baby and you're noticing behaviors from your mother that feel off to you, but you're unsure if you're seeing things. So in this episode, I will go through possible common behaviors that a narcissistic mother who is now becoming a grandmother can display around your newborn baby, and what you can do to protect yourself and your baby from her toxicity. You may notice, especially if you're already in the experience, so you already had your baby, that some of these behaviors, you know, they're not black and white, so that you can notice a mix of a few. We all are going to have our personal experiences of this, and also I want to say that this is not, I'm not saying that this is definitely going to happen, but it's important to be aware that if your mother has shown strong narcissistic traits in her behavior with you, there is a chance that there's going to be strong narcissistic traits in the behavior with your child, and they may not be the same. You may be surprised. There may be a difference, but still, if she's coming from a narcissistic place, so if she's coming from a place of meeting her own needs, she's going to continue to meet her own needs rather than the needs of your baby or of you at this time, and unless she's done some major inner work in the meantime. So let's start with what can happen. So with which are these behaviors, so that you can recognize them, you can become aware of them and recognize these behaviors when the times come. So the first thing that can happen is disgust. And this sounds terrible, but if your mother has not been very maternal with you, perhaps considering babies in general as an inconvenience to her routine, she may have the same behavior towards your child. She may not want to hold them. She may not show any affection towards them. She may also express her dislike for them very explicitly. This, of course, may be hurtful for you, especially if you were hoping she would change and show love to your child. This behavior, if left unchecked, can also escalate as the child grows and may also not be safe for her to be around your child alone, as she may not take good care of them. At the same time, this behavior sometimes can also get better as the child grows, out of the baby phase and becomes more relatable to her. So usually narcissistic mothers that show this kind of behavior, that they really have no idea how to relate to a baby or a small toddler, because, you know, it ruins their dresses, ruins their hair, is sticky and gooey and it cries, and it's like there is a proper, whatever happened in their own life, whatever trauma they're carrying, they just don't have that natural sort of instinct that would just make you want to care for a baby. And so sometimes when the baby grows out of that phase, then they actually start relating to the baby, to the child, as it becomes a person. It's like when it's a baby, it's not actually a person to them. So we don't want to go into justifying and understanding their behavior. What you want to know is that if you notice aspects of this in your mother's behavior, then it's nothing to do with you. It's definitely nothing to do with your baby. There's nothing wrong with your baby. It's just your mother's behavior. The second behavior that you may notice is lack of interest. So this is different than the one before, as it's not disgust, like she's not repulsed by the baby. It is complete disinterest in the baby. Not only she doesn't want to hold them, but she doesn't care at all. Again, if she wasn't very maternal with you, maybe she neglected you as a child, maybe she left you behind altogether, maybe she was very focused on her career when you were a baby, this may display again with your child and with you as a new mother. So she may not even want to visit. She may not care about being given time with your baby. And you may have wanted that, but that's not coming from her. And for some of us, hearing this, this may definitely feel like a blessing, and I get that. You know, if you have an overbearing narcissistic mother, you may be thinking, I'd love if my mother was uninterested in my baby, it would make my life so much easier. And yet, it can leave you feeling neglected yet again. Not only she didn't care about you when you were a child or in your growing years, but she doesn't even care about your baby. And also, you may have wanted to ask for her support and help, and this is clearly not an option, which can leave you hurt and feeling alone, especially at the beginning of your new journey as a mother. So again, none of it has anything to do with you, and none of it has anything to do with your baby. It's just the way your mother is wired. And yeah, we're going to talk about solutions in a little while. I'm just going to keep going through the behaviors. So the third possible behavior of a narcissistic mother becoming a grandmother with a newborn baby can be being overbearing. So this is when she wants to be extra involved. So we're going to the other end of the spectrum. She wants to know everything about the baby. She wanted to be involved in the birth, possibly. She took control of almost everything when you were pregnant. Maybe you had to set a lot of boundaries during pregnancy, and maybe you succeeded then. And now you're in a different position, because once you have your baby, we go through a very vulnerable phase, which is, it's a new journey, and we're mothers and it's precious and there's this little baby. So things may feel different to you, and you may be feeling overwhelmed now by her behavior. So this behavior, the overbearing one, can actually disguise as very nice. She's there to help, and everyone is thinking that she's great. And yet, you're noticing things that feel off to you. Like, for example, she gets in the way of your first experiences with the baby. Like she wants to give the first bath or change the first nappy or so on and so forth. Maybe she criticizes your caring of the baby and tells you constantly how she knows best. Maybe she wants to choose what and how to feed the baby, what and how to dress the baby, and all of that kind of stuff. If the baby cries, she doesn't even give you the time to get up. She's the first one there, and then she tells you how you didn't get up and how great she was. And if confronted about all of this, she can go into full-blown taking it personal and victimhood reaction. Like, I was doing my best to help, but if I'm not appreciated, I will go away and never come back, kind of thing. So again, if you're noticing these behaviors and you're noticing how they feel off to you, know that, again, you're not crazy, you're not seeing things. It's okay to ask for support of your mother, and it's great if she's there to give support, but still, it's your baby and you have the right to set boundaries, and you're not there to having to put up with her toxic behavior just because she's offering support. The fourth behavior is manipulating. So this is when your narcissistic mother uses the baby and helping you as a tool of manipulation, guilt-tripping you or keeping you in her control because she knows her help is essential to you. So to get it, you will do what she asks and meet her needs. She may threaten to withdraw her help if her needs are not met. She may use the hot and cold behavior, saying that she will help and then not show up, leaving you stranded at the last minute if you had commitments. So this manipulating behavior plays on your needs. So if you are in a position where you need her support, she can weaponize that and use it ultimately to get her own needs met and to get attention on herself. The fifth behavior is triangulating. She may triangulate between you and your partner about the caring of the baby. She may criticize either you or your partner when talking to the other. So if you're familiar with triangulation and the mechanism, I do have a full episode on the podcast on what triangulation is. But ultimately, it's when she puts herself between two other people and kind of it's the point of reference for both, and she just talks and gossips to one or the other about the other person. So triangulation is a divide and conquer mechanism or manipulation tactic that a narcissistic mother can use. So she can use the baby as an excuse to triangulate even more between you and your partner. So criticizing your partner is unable to do such and such with the baby, so maybe I should do it instead, and so on. Or criticizing you with your partner and so on. I've been at the receiving end of that. I've seen that happening in my own family, and that can create a lot of conflict and be very disruptive, especially when we're having a newborn baby in the house and we don't want that. She can try to pitch you one against the other, creating conflict about how the baby's taken care for, and ultimately what she wants is to get attention on herself and be in control of the situation. Maybe you and your partner have aspects where you don't fully agree. And if she has been told this, you know, you may have said that to your mother in a moment of, you may have confided that with her, and she can use that information to create conflict. So this can be done in a very subtle way. And she may say she's trying to help when you know she's not. She can triangulate also emotionally between you and your baby. And she can go all the way to scapegoating you, making your baby her new golden child. And again, that is something I've seen. The baby becomes like the new project. if you were the golden child, but somehow now you're setting boundaries, somehow you've went a different way, somehow you've actually done inner work and realized you're not there to live your mother's life, but you're actually here to live your own, that's a big disappointment for a mother that's reared the golden child. So they move on to the next, the next project. The baby, it's like so, it's like easy, it's new ground, so it's easy to start up in a way she wants. And so to do that, she can emotionally triangulate between you and your baby. The sixth behavior is making the child her own. So this is when your mother goes beyond caring for the baby, like you may have asked her to. She calls the baby her own and excludes you from the care of the baby in any way she can. She may use excuses such as you need to rest, or you need to take care of yourself. Or maybe she can tell you your marriage is suffering. I've noticed your marriage is suffering and you need to focus on that. I will take care of the baby for you as you do that. Or she could go the other way and outright tell you how incompetent you are as a mother and that she needs to do the job for you. This is a worsening of the overbearing behavior that becomes an emotional appropriation of the baby. She fully treats the baby as her own, even suggesting that you and the baby are like siblings. I've seen that happening in my family. She may call you her children. She may call herself mama or mommy when speaking with the baby instead of granny. If confronted, she may of course deny and say she's only trying to help. Or she may react saying she was forced to mother your child as you are so incompetent. I have actually been in the middle of that dynamic between my grandmother and my mother. This is what my grandmother kind of did. Now, my mother was not at the top of her game when she was caring, but she was very young too, and possibly with receiving an empowering sort of support that could have helped her understanding how to take care of me in a different way. But my grandmother absolutely weaponized this. And my grandparents still refer to themselves and as mom and dad when they're talking to me and about me. So that's to say that this behavior can be very intense, and if you're seeing this happening, yet again, you're not crazy and seeing things. This can happen. Seventh behavior is criticism and comparisons, and we all know that narcissistic mothers are so great at dishing out criticism and at using comparison to make you feel bad about yourself and to manipulate you. So she may outright criticize you as a mother now in all your choices and ways you're bringing your baby up and caring for them. And she may also compare her mothering to yours, using any occasion to outline how great she was compared to you, or how times were different then and how you have it easy. She may compare you as a child to how your baby is, making you the bad baby, and once again saying you have it easy as your child is so good compared to how you were, or your child is as bad as you were and there's nothing you can do about it. So comparison can be used in so many different ways, and paired up with criticism, ultimately the goal of it is to somehow for her to come out as the perfect mother, the one that sacrificed everything, the one that did it all right, and despite all her effort, you're still the bad daughter, or you're still not doing the job right, and so on and so forth. The final behavior is neglect. So this is something to be aware of if your mother has been the type to neglect you as a baby. So this goes beyond the disgust and the lack of interest. This is actual neglect, as in your mother may actually seem 100% wanting to take care of your child, and you may lean on that because we know we need support at the beginning and that things are not always very easy. I remember my first daughter was sleeping very, very little at night, so I did need some support to be able to catch a few hours of sleep. But there are times when neglect can be a real thing, as in your mother may tell you that she's going to take care of the baby, but then actually for whatever patterns in her own system, she may end up neglecting the baby. There could be a history of addiction. We had to take that into consideration at times with her own babies and grandparents. There can be a history of depression, of lack of motivation. So these are all things that are really important to keep in mind, because it may be actually unsafe to leave your child with your to leave your baby with your mother, as despite her promises, she may not be able to see through, and the baby may end up being neglected in the time that is with your mother. And this is important for you. You'll know all of this, but yeah, there are times where we feel like it would be nice that the grandmother would do this, that maybe this can help her, and all of that, but that it's not about her, it's about your baby. So it's really important to keep this in mind. So have you experienced any of this with your narcissistic mother? You're welcome to share your experience in the comments below. And also if you have any questions. So to recap, we've talked about the different behaviors. We've talked about the disgust, the lack of interest, the overbearing grandmother, the manipulating grandmother, the triangulating grandmother, and a grandmother that starts making the child her own, a grandmother that criticizes and makes comparisons in a very, very unhealthy, unhelpful way, and then the grandmother that neglects the baby. And as I mentioned, I have witnessed some of these behaviors in my own family, like the complete lack of interest of my mother towards my children, and sometimes the disgust, the triangulation, tons of that, attempting to make each child a new golden child. Oh my God, I've seen that so many times. Not just with my own children, but with any new baby that came into the family. The criticism, the overbearing behavior, and aspects of more. So if you're going through any of these, I want you to know that you're not alone and that you're not crazy. These behaviors are real possibilities when your mother is narcissistic or has narcissistic behaviors, and she will become a narcissistic grandmother. I do have an episode on the signs to recognize a narcissistic grandmother, and I'm going to stick the description, the link in the description below, so you can go and listen to that too. So how can you protect yourself and your baby from these behaviors? Because this is really important. It's the more you are prepared for this, the more you can protect yourself. So the first step is to be aware of them as a possibility. Be aware that these behaviors are a possibility, that you're not being pessimistic or expecting the worst. It's important to know that not everyone is wired to unconditionally love a baby. And narcissistic behaviors that happen with you, that may have happened with you or may still be happening with you from your mother, may repeat with your baby or look different but still be toxic. So it's really, really important to be aware and be prepared for these narcissistic behaviors. The second step is set boundaries as needed. Don't be afraid of setting boundaries with your mother, even if she's saying she wants to help. If the behavior feels off to you, you have every right to set a boundary. The primary need of your baby are their parents. This is really important to remember. And everyone else is a bonus. So if granny is toxic, if the grandmother is narcissistic or toxic, you are not doing anything bad towards your baby by setting boundaries, but you're protecting them. You know, there's this thing that is, we mentioned it before, oh, but the baby needs their grandmother. The grandmother should be involved. It's such an important figure, and so on and so forth. And of course, in an ideal world, wouldn't it be wonderful? My children had a grandmother that is still very, very, very toxic. And when given the chance to be with my children, she's actually emotionally and physically abused them. So it's important to set boundaries so that never happens again. And if you know that this is a distinct possibility and you're prepared for it, I wasn't very prepared, I have to say. I was so enmeshed with my mother that it took me a while to see this happening. Thankfully, not too long. But it's really important to set boundaries. Your baby comes first. Number three is manage your expectations. So don't expect your mother toxic behaviors to suddenly disappear just because you had a baby. If she neglected you or wasn't interested in you, the same might happen now. If she's manipulative, if she triangulates, if she's overbearing, and so on, this will not magically stop now that there's a baby. Managing your expectation will help you being prepared with boundaries and also will prevent you getting hurt and disappointed. It can happen that when we've been neglected as children, we feel like now that we're pregnant and we're having a baby, actually, this is gonna spark some interest. I mean, this should be like an important event. We should have our mothers there with us, and there can be a lot of hurt when we realize that this is not going to happen. And I totally get that. I've definitely been there with my own mother. And also, all that manipulative, toxic, guilt-tripping, victimhood, we may feel like maybe the baby is going to be the key. This is going to be the one that is going to turn it all around. Or maybe if you've had a very contrasting relationship with your mother, if you've been fighting a lot, you might think, well, now that there's a baby, you know, this is going to bring us together and it's actually going to heal the past and it's going to transform her magically in the wonderful grandmother. That might not happen. And managing your expectations is really, really important. It's going to help you not only being prepared for boundary setting, but it's also going to prevent you from getting really, really, really hurt when things don't change and when the toxic behaviors are still there. Step number four, plan support other than your mother. I know that this may not always feel possible. The invitation is to do your best not to place yourself in a position where you need to rely on your narcissistic mother, as this will give her power over you and control. And if you know your mother is a narcissist, you've probably done a lot of work already to get out of her control and to take the power back for yourself. So to end up actually having only one solution, that is your mother, to rely on for support, for taking care of the baby. Maybe you need to get back to work at some point, or maybe you're tired and you need sleep, or all of that. To have only your mother as a support is going to give her tons of power. And you don't want that. So having alternative support will give the power back to you. You don't need her. That is what you want to. You want to put yourself in a position where you don't need her. And yes, if she wants to come and see the baby, if she wants to come and sometimes be the support, that can be an available option. But have backup plans, have other options. Don't have her as your first person to call when you need support. As hard as it seems, or as unnatural as it seems, in an ideal world, of course, your mother should be the first person you call. That's in an ideal world, that's how it works. I've said that to my daughters many, many times. When their time comes, and if they have babies, if they choose to have babies, I'm going to be available and I will support the best I can, and also respecting their needs and what they want from me. But that's not what happens with a narcissistic mother, and you know that. So you know that when you are in need of her, that's when she gets the most energized, because she can control you then, and you don't want that. So make sure you plan as much as possible. Lateral thinking, creative thinking, plan support other than your mother. Fifth point, fifth step, safety first. Safety is the most important thing for your baby. It comes way before your mother's emotional needs, and also way before society expectations of how much a grandmother should be welcomed and involved. You know your mother, you know your narcissistic mother, and you are the only one who can truly feel into the degree of physical and emotional safety that is either there or not for your baby when they're with her. So trust your own guidance. No matter how much guilting she tries to do, no matter how much of a victim she becomes, no matter how much drama she brings to it, you know that if your narcissistic mother is not actually a safe person for your baby to be with, you know you have the right to set boundaries. No matter how many other family members tell you that granny should be involved, no matter what the world tells you, you know, and you're not crazy and you're not seeing things. If you feel your baby isn't safe with this person, then you set the boundaries you need to set. And point number six, you are the mother. Never forget this. And this is again something that at the beginning I had to battle with so much. But you are the mother and you know your child. And you are not meant to be perfect. This is a new journey and you're going to learn along the way. You will learn as you go along. And sometimes we try to be perfect because we've had very much less than perfect mothers who didn't own anything, took no responsibility, and were very, very toxic to us. So we try to be like super perfect, and we want everything to be absolutely perfect. And in this trying to be perfect, we forget that we actually have an inner wisdom. And because you are the mother, there is a bond between you and your baby. And when you follow that, when you have obviously the interests of your baby at heart and you have the best of intentions because you are actually a loving mother, you're not a narcissistic mother, you're not meant to be perfect. You will learn as you go along on this journey, and no one has the right to tell you that you're doing a wrong job just because they have their own issues. Your narcissistic mother has no right to criticize you, put you down, take the job for you, like do stuff for you because you are not good at it, tell you what to do in a way that is disrespectful. This is very different than accepting support because you would like support. That's a different thing. You are the mother of your child, and no one else is more qualified than you to rear your child, your baby. You and your partner together, of course. So it's really important for you to know that you have an inner wisdom and an inner guidance, and that a lot of what a narcissistic mother who becomes a grandmother is going to try and do is to bring you away from that, is to deny that you have that guidance, to deny that you know what you know, to deny your capacity, and not to even give you the chance to experiment and try. I remember times when my baby was crying and I was trying to figure out what was happening, and I did need that time to figure it out, to feel into it, to understand what that cry was about, because it's not always the same. Every baby has a different language and every cry is different. It's going to be the cry for tummy pain. It's going to be the cry for hunger. The cry because they want to sleep. The cry because they're too tired to sleep. There's so many different. The toothache cry. And I could go on. There's a million different cries. But as a mother, you tune into that and you gently learn that you need to be given time to experience that. And if there's someone constantly jumping up instead of you, jumping at you, telling you you're doing it wrong, putting more doubts in your mind and all of that, that really becomes very, very intense. So you are the mother. You have every right to set boundaries and have time with your baby to get to know each other. without your narcissistic mother there in the middle of the whole thing. So I hope this was helpful and brought some clarity on how a narcissistic mother who becomes a grandmother can behave still in a toxic way towards your baby and how to protect your baby. So let's recap the 6 points on how to protect yourself and your baby from a narcissistic grandmother. Be aware, 1, of the possible behaviors. 2, set boundaries as needed. 3, manage your expectations. 4, plan support other than your mother. 5, safety first. Your baby's safety comes first, and of course yours too. And 6, remember that you are the mother and you have an incredible amount of wisdom in yourself and inner guidance that won't fail you, and you don't need to be perfect. You're learning, and that's the most important thing. So with that, I am going to send you lots of love, remind you that the roadmap to boundary setting, it's free and it's available. The link is in the description of this episode. So if you feel the need for some support in setting boundaries with your narcissistic mother, that is an amazing tool that is going to help you. And with that, I'm going to say goodbye and wish you a wonderful week. Bye for now.